Sometimes Christians lose sight of what's most important, and we get distracted by the things of the world. Hi, I'm Stephen Street, Executive Pastor at Fraser Church, and welcome to Fraser 365. It's our hope for you that in this devotional series, you'll be brought back to the one true center of our faith, just Jesus. Thanks for joining us.
Welcome to day 6 of Just Jesus, the Promised Messiah. This week's study is titled, A Season of Epiphany, and today's devotion is titled, Made Known Through the Church. Maxie Dunham and Lloyd Ogilvy once wrote, "What would happen if the Christian church could get her mind around this claim of Paul, that all powers, all structures, all institutions, all systems can be redeemed? Indeed, that is God's plan to bring everything into harmony of His love in Jesus Christ." Our text for today is from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 7 through 12. "Of this gospel, I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given me by the working of His power. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God, who created all things, so that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that He has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in Him." In Ephesians chapter 3, verses 7 through 12, Paul speaks of his mission to bring light to the mystery of the gospel. These verses shed light on Paul as a Christ-centered missionary who is overwhelmed by the grace of Christ. Tony Morita described Paul's humility in Ephesians 3, verses 7 and 8. "Because Paul understood grace, he lived with a profound sense of humble gratitude to God. He knew that apart from grace, he would not be doing what he was doing. So he says, 'Grace was given to me,' twice in verse 7 and verse 8. He deflects attention away from himself toward the proper place of praise, the God of all grace. Paul, in verse 8, refers to himself as the least of all the saints. This does not seem to be false humility, but something that Paul firmly believes. His position and place in redemptive history does not puff him up. It leaves him to boast only in Christ. He feels privileged to serve the King. Do you? We do not have to serve Jesus. We get to serve Jesus. Notice how Paul refers to himself in verse 7 as a servant of this gospel. Even though he is an inspired apostle, Paul knows he is following our foot-washing, suffering servant. Do not forget this. Paul knew that everything he had was given to him through the working of God's power. His calling and message both came through the grace given to him by Jesus. After Paul speaks of his mission to proclaim God's mystery, he shares a profound purpose for God's church in verse 10. Maxie Dunham and Lloyd Ogilvy describe it as follows. Here again, Paul reaffirms that the mission of the church is that of her exalted Lord. Yet here is something new. He has told us that it is part of God's purpose to bring all the principalities and powers under the sovereignty of Christ. Now he tells us that God is going to achieve this end through the church. Do you get the expansiveness of that? The mission field of the church is the whole cosmos. Christ has triumphed over all powers, heavenly and earthly. No hostile forces are great enough to hinder the soul's ascent to God when that soul is companioned and championed by Christ. But there is more yet. The church, even in her earthly expression, rises triumphantly with Christ to overcome all the powers of earth and heaven. What Christ said is true. The gates of hell shall not prevail against her. The church, then, is two things. First, a demonstration plot for the breaking down and the final dissolution of the barriers of hatred and suspicion which divide humanity. And second, the staging ground for the expression and release of the mighty power of Christ to draw all persons unto Him. Have you ever stopped to wonder at the marvel of God's creation? The church. The creation of heaven and earth is a wonder. Yes, all stand amazed at it. The creation of humans, rational beings with freedom to respond or rebel against their Creator, that is a marvel that we cannot comprehend. But marvel of marvels. God, in Christ, woos the rebel back, pours out unlimited love that the rebel can't resist. Rebels respond in love and obedience, and God creates a new people who live together in a relationship of love and forgiveness. And that's the church. When she is true to her being, Christ Himself is present. His love flows from her corporate life. His forgiveness is expressed in the relationship of her members to each other and to those outside her fellowship. His justice and mercy are made visible in her ministry and mission to the least of these. The mystery is that the gospel is available to everyone. The message of this mystery has been entrusted to God's church. As His ambassadors, we are entrusted not only with sharing the message, but also with modeling the unity of believers, which demonstrates the all-access pass of the gospel. Some questions to consider. How does God's grace overwhelm you as you serve Him? In what ways can the church fully carry out its mission to make God's mystery known? And finally, in what ways can the church be a better example of God's grace to extend salvation to all people? Thanks for joining us. Have a great day.